We get up to Amar Rabbi Zera on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, the third line. And let's just review the question of the Gemara so we'll appreciate Rabbi Zera's answer. We had the statement on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah wanted to explain why you could allow an Eruv to be located in a Kalkola that's above 10 Tfachim. So what you have is a tree, and the tree rises 10 Tfachim from the Karka of Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim goes up to 10 Tfachim. Above 10 Tfachim, we have a Rishus HaYachid. He wants to be Kona Shvisa on the ground in Rishus HaRabim. The Erev is in the Kalkola, which is sitting on one of the branches of the tree, above 10 Tfachim. How is it possible that that Erev would be valid? Says Rabbi Yirmiyah, because of a principle called Hoil. And Hoil means that he could have done something which would have brought the Eruv to its proper location. What could he have done? Since the Eruv is inside the Kalkola, he could have tipped over the Kalkola and it would dip below Asar Tfachim. So the Kalkola, if you imagine, is hanging on a branch of a tree that's 10 Tfachim above the ground. Now he tips it over, so that now the Eruv is in the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, and he could have done this at the onset of Shabbos at Bein HaShemoshos. Had he done so, then the Eruv would be located Hu Ve'eruv HaBemokom Echad in Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because the airspace of Rishus HaRabim goes up to 10 Tfachim. He's located in Rishus HaRabim. The Erev, if he would have done this action of tipping over the Kalkola, would have also been in Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, even though he has not done this action, he has the potential to do it. He could have put the Erev in the right place. And therefore, the Erev is valid. And that's called Hoil. So the Gemara wants to know now, this is Rav Papa's objection, how far are you going to go with this principle of Hoil? I mean, can you always say, well, I could have put the Erev in the right place, and therefore it's as if the Erev is already in the right place? I mean, basically, what Rav Papa is going to try to do is, he's trying to say that the logical conclusion, if we apply it straight away, of Rav Yirmiyah's principle of Hoil is that you don't have to put an Erev anywhere. You know, anytime you want an Erev to be in a certain place, why not just say, well, Hoil, you know, I could have put it in that place. And in order to demonstrate this, Rav Papa quotes a Mishnah later on, and the Mishnah speaks about a case of a 48-hour period of Yontif and Shabbos, which divides up into two cases, either if Yontif was on a Friday or if Yontif fell on a Sunday. And the Mishnah addresses the dilemma, so to speak, how to solve the following dilemma. Since you have 48 hours of Yontif, of Isa Malacha, Yontif and Shabbos, and he wants to have an Erev Tchumen for both days, allowing him to carry, allowing him to walk more than 2,000 Amos beyond his Erev, both on Yontif, let's take the case of Yontif on a Friday, and on Shabbos. And he's got a dilemma now. Why? Because let's say if Yontif is on Friday, so before Yontif, let's call it Thursday afternoon, he could send his Erev out, let's say, 2,000 amos out of the city, set up the Eruv. Let's say his shliach will set up the Eruv. And then he doesn't want to leave the Eruv there until Friday night, meaning a full 24 hours, because he'll never know for sure if that Eruv is still intact. It might have gotten lost. So he'll simply tell the shliach to bring the Eruv back to the city, which you're allowed to do on Yontif. And then he'll again on Friday afternoon send the Eruv back, so that now he'll be Kona Shvisa for Shabbos. Now, when the Shliach on Friday afternoon places the Eruv, he can no longer bring the Eruv back to the city. So he'll eat the Eruv if he so desires right then and there, right? Meaning after the onset of Shabbos. So that's what's going to happen. Now, if Yontif is on Sunday, then the situation is much more complicated, because he's going to have to set up the Eruv, 2,000 Amah out of the city on Friday afternoon. And with the onset of Shabbos, there's no possibility of bringing the Eruv back. He's going to have to create a new Eruv. And how's he going to set up that Eruv for Yontif on Sunday? That Eruv for Yontif on Sunday has to be set up on Shabbos itself. So then the Mishnah says, well, he's going to go out to the 2,000 Amah outside the city on Shabbos, and he's going to check if the Eruv is still there, Matovu Manoim. That Eruv will now serve to allow him on Shabbos to walk 2,000 Amah beyond the Eruv. If the Eruv is gone, then he has no other option, because it's Shabbos. How's he going to carry out an Eruv to that point and set up an Eruv for Yontif? So in that case, he will not be allowed to walk beyond 2,000 Amah from his house on Yontif. So if he lucks out, he'll find the Eruv there. If he doesn't look out, there's no Eruv. So that's just a summary of the Mishnah. So Rav Papa asks the following question, which you'll see on the top of Lamed Daled Omed Aleph. Let's go back to the first case, right? Yontif is on Friday. So on Thursday afternoon, the Shliach brings the Eruv. And then the Shliach, after the onset of Yontif, we'll bring the Eruv back, so that on Friday afternoon before Shabbos, he'll be able to again go back and bring the Eruv. So Rav Papa says, why? He certainly could have brought the Eruv on Friday afternoon, even though it's Yontif, that's not a problem. And according to you, Rav Yirmiyah, your principle is that whatever you could have done, like for example, you could have taken the Eruv in the Kalkola in a Rishus HaYochid, which is above Asor Tvachim, and you could have tipped it over into the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, and even though you didn't do so, we can apply the principle of Hoil, that since you had the ability to do so, it's as if you did so. And if that be the case, then why does he have to come back on Friday and reestablish his Eruv and place the Eruv 2,000 Amah outside of his city on Erev Shabbos? He doesn't have to bother doing that. Let's just apply the principle of Hoil and say that since he could have done so, because it's Yontif and there's no problem in doing so on Yontif, then it's as if he did so. And in the language here of Rashi, it's ke'ilu he'viol Hashem. It's as if he actually brought it there. Now, it's just like Rabbi Yirmiyah says in the case of Kalkola, it's as if he had tipped the Kalkola over such that he had brought the Eruv from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, and he could have done so. So we say that Ho'ova Yochel Hayo L'Chofafa, he could have tipped it over into Rishus HaRabim, it's considered as if he made the Erev in Rishus HaRabim. Here also, he could have brought the Erev back from his city, from his house, on Yontif, Erev Shabbos, and set it up over there at 2,000 Amah. Why don't we just say it's as if he did it? So Rashi says that basically this question, now I may have made a mistake about who the names here. Did I get the names wrong? Some second. Oh, I'm sorry. I said it was Rav Papa who asked the kasha. My mistake. It's Rav Bar Shva who is asking the question to Rav Papa. And as Rav Papa was transmitting the statement, the ruling of Rav Yirmiyah, and Rav Bar Shva was the one who stood up and raised this objection. So Rashi says that Rav Bar Shva's question is really from every single Eruv. In other words, there was no need for Rav Bar Shva to quote the Mishnah of Yontif Samach L'Shabbos. He could have asked the question from the very requirement of an Eruv. What's the requirement in an Eruv? That you have to pick up the Eruv, go out to the end of the 2,000 Amah border of the city, and put down the Eruv. Well, why do you have to do so? Why not just apply the principle of Hod? Now, this leads Tosvis, Dibra Maskel V'Amai, to disagree with Rashi. It doesn't sit well with Tosfos that the Kasha of Rav Shva was from the very, fundamental halach of an Erev, requirement of an Erev, that you have to put the Erev wherever you have to put it, and then ask a Kasha from a Mishnah of Erev Yontif. And therefore, Tosfos says the following. Meiniach eruvo b'erev Shabbos, on a classic case of setting up an eruv on erev Shabbos, forget about Yontif. Lo shayach lomar hoil. Ravina would not have applied the principle of hoil. That since he could have brought it out there, it's as if he brought it out there. Why? Sherei osur min haTorah lahavi es haeruv mi beso. Shebershus ha-yochid le-mokom shvisoso bershus ha-rabin. Okay, this is the point that Tos wants to make. How can you apply Hoyil, as Rashi would, in explaining Rav Shavah's objection, in a classic case of an Erev on Erev Shabbos? He wants to be Konesh Shvisa in a Rishus HaRabim. How could he have possibly brought out the Eruv from his bias, which is Rishus HaYochid, out to Rishus HaRabim? The Afi Ben HaShmoshos Shushnas Knias HaEruv Osur Lavio. Right? We only said that Rebbe was Mekil on Bein HaShmoshos, allowing you to implement an action which would have been prohibited Mirabbanon had it been Shabbos. It's only Bein HaShmoshos. But here we have a Hotzah Doraisa from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, which Bein HaShmoshos would be prohibited even according to Rebbe, because it's a biblical violation of Melechas Hotzah. Oh. Lekach, therefore, Rav Bar Shva Hiksha Dafka Bi Yontif Shechalios Bi Erev Shabbos. Yontif is on a Friday. Shebi Yontif Ein Isra Otzah. So there's no Isra Otzah on Yontif. Ulekach Shayach Lomar Hoyil Vayachol Lavio Bi Bein HaShmoshos Shal Knisas Yontif Lemakom Shvisoso. Now, if I understand correctly, what Tosis is saying is that Rav Bar Shva, when he looked for a kasha and wanted to extend and apply Rav Yirmiyah's Hoyil to another case and find a contradiction, he looked for a Mishnah of Yontif. So that if you want to set up an Erev Tchumen for Yontif, all you have to do is carry it out from your Rishus HaYochid out to Rishus HaRabim at Bein HaShmoshos. So at Bein HaShmoshos I could apply the principle of Hoil, meaning even though I didn't actually carry the Erev from my house out to this point, which is 2,000 Amah in Rishus HaRabim, I could have done so on Yontif. There's no Iser at Bein HaShmoshos of Yontif of Meleches Hotzah, because Meleches Hotzah is not prohibited on Yontif. And he quotes one of the Achronim, I'm not sure who it is, the Loshan Azov. Anyway, he says that according to Rashi, who seems to be willing to apply Hoil for every Shabbos, and Rashi's not worried about the Isar Otzah, Shahoil Eino Nemar al Bein HaShmoshos Atzmo Ela al Mibod Yom Konim Bein HaShmoshos Shu Azman Shederech Laholich Esa Erev. We don't need to apply Hoil, according to Rashi, to the moment of Bein HaShmoshos. We should apply Hoil to the moment that a person generally leaves his Erev. He puts down his Eruv a moment before Bein HaShmoshos. He's not going to wait till Bein HaShmoshos to put down his Eruv. And at that moment, there is no Iser Otzah. So why do you require a person, according to Rashi, on Erev Shabbos, to take his Eruv and schlep it out 2,000 Amah and put it down in a Mokum of Kodesh Shvisim Rishus HaRabim? It's not yet Bein HaShmoshos, and he could have done so. So consider it as if he did so. And that leads us to Rabbi Zeira. On Rabbi Zeira, the reason why the Chachamim require that you carry your Eruv out to the Makom Shvisa and you don't apply the principle of Hoil is Gzeira Mishum Yontif Shechalios Achara Shabbos. We're worried about a confusion with a case where Yontif is on Sunday. So what happens if Yontif is on Sunday? You're going to again apply the principle of Hoil, and you're going to say, well, you know what? I could have taken the Erev out on Shabbos afternoon in order to set it up for Yontif, and therefore I'm going to go out of the Tchum on Yontif. I'm going to rely on the possibility that I could have taken it out on Erev Yontif, right? Because, after all, in the question or the objection of Rav Shva, of Rav Bar Shva, what the case was where the Yontif was on Erev Shabbos. And we said that if Yontif is on Erev Shabbos, you can apply the principle of Hoil. He's now going to apply the principle of Hoil even on Yontif, which is on a Sunday. Well, guess what? There's no Hoil on Sunday. Because on Shabbos, he couldn't have possibly set up his Eruv for the next day for Yontif by carrying this Erev out 2,000 Amah into Rishus HaRabim. That would be a violation of Yisrael Otzah. So therefore, we're not going to apply the principle of Hoil, because if we do so, a person might confuse Yontif on Erev Shabbos with Yontif on Sunday, on Yom Rishon. And in that case, there is no Hoil at all, because it's Shabbos, and on Shabbos he has no possibility of setting up the Eruv. Now the Gemara is going to ask a different kasha, raise a different objection to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Esvei, from a Braisa. Niskaven lishbos birshus harabim viniach eruvo bekosel. Now, he's got a Mokom Shvisa that he wants to set up his Eruv, and let's say 5 Amos distant from his Mokom Shvisa, there's a kosel. So again, we have to emphasize here, like we said before, by the Elon with the branch, that's got to be beyond Dalet Amos, because otherwise we have the principle of Rava that kicks in within Dalet Amos. It's one Rishus Ayoch. So it's anyway, it's Samuch. It's Samuch Lemakom Shvisaso, and he puts it down on a kosa. So the Brisa differentiates. If he puts it Lemata Me'asar Tfachim, so that from the ground up to the point on the kosel where he leaves his eruv, it's, let's say, 8 tvachim or 9 tvachim, whatever it might be, then eruvo eruv. Because the ma'ariv is now in Rishus HaRabim, the eruv is in a karmelis, and the Isur Otzah in a karmelis is only drabbanon. And as we said over and over again, the critical point for the Erev to be Chal is Bein HaShemashes. And we're holding like Rebbe. And Rebbe says that whatever is also Mishun Shavuos, Lo Gozru Olav Bein HaShemashes. And therefore, the Erev is valid. And even though the Erev is beyond Arba Amos, nevertheless, how would he have access to his Erev, which is beyond Arba Amos? And the answer is that even if it would be on Shabbos itself, since he's in Rishus HaRabim, he could carry his Eruv pachos mi Arba Amos, which again would be a violation of an Isur D'Rabbanan, but we're talking about Bein HaShemashos. So Bein HaShemashos, we have 2 points to make over here, both of which lead to the same conclusion. One is that the area below 10 Tvachim in a Rishus HaRabim is called a Karmelis, and there's no Isur Karmelis Bein HaShemashos according to Rebbe. And number two, he could actually take the Eruv, get access to it, by carrying it from outside of Dalet Amos, Pachos mi Dalet Amos. So he could actually carry the Eruv through Rishus HaRabim, although that would be also Mirabbanan, but Bein HaShemashos, it would be Mutter because of Rebbe's principle that there's no Gzera Bein HaShemashos. Now, by the way, I'm trying to figure out exactly how he puts his Eruv in the Kosel. I have a feeling that the Kosel itself has openings, maybe shelves, so to speak. Now, lemala me'asar tfachim, if on the other hand he puts the eruv above 10 tfachim, ein eruvo eruv. Why? The ma'ariv is located in Rishus HaRabim, that's why where he wants to be Kona Shvisa. The eruv is now in Rishus HaYochid. Why? Because it has the height of 10 tfachim, and I'm assuming, I hope I'm not wrong about this, that it has the width of 4 tfachim. I don't see him saying that, but that's what I think it means. So now it becomes impossible for him, even according to Rebbe during Bein HaShemashos, to get access to the Eruv, because the Eruv is in Rishus HaYochid, and he's located in Rishus HaRabim. And again, even though we said that we're going to give him an extension of Rishus HaYochid for 4 Amos, but here we're talking about a case where the Eruv is beyond 4 Amos. In other words, his Makom Shvisa is here. Count 5 Amos until you get to the Kosel. And above 10 Tfachim in the Kosel, that's where he puts down his Eruv. He has no possible access to his Eruv, because if he would be taking his Eruv, it would be Hotzah Mirshus HaYochid to Rishus HaRab. Okay, so far so good. Now the Brisa continues. Niskaven lishbos berosh hashovach. So now we have a case of a chicken coop, and the chicken coop has different, again, levels to it. O berosh hamigdol, or he has some sort of a closet that's made of wood, and again it has shelves in it. Now, where are these items, or these closets? They're in a shovach or a migdal, and they're all in Rishus HaRabim. Okay. Now, the shovach, or for that matter, the migdal, is a minimum of 10 tefachim high. Probably much higher than that. Now, if that be the case, then the shovach itself, although it's located in Rishus HaRabim, and the same is true for the migdal, is a Rishus HaYachid. Why? Because it climbs up above 10 tefachim, and he left his Eruv on the upper shelf, which is more than 10 tefachim above the ground, so the shelf now is Rishus HaYachid. And notice, he was Niskavin Lishbos B'Rosh HaShovach. So he wanted his Makom Shvisa to be on top of the Shovach. And if that be the case, he and his Eruv are both in Rishus HaYachid. So therefore, Lamala Me'asara Tefachim Eruvo Eruv. So if he puts the Eruv in the shelf, which is above 10 tefachim, then it's fine. So now, he quotes Rashi here in the Bir. He says, V'af she'eno yochel l'avis ha'eruv l'mokom shvifsasa b'rosh ha'migdol mishum shu ma'avir m'shus ha'yochel l'shus ha'yochel derech avir m'shus ha'rabim. Okay, so this has to do with, you remember we discussed Moshit, and we said that a told of Moshit is if you yourself carry something from a, let's say for example, you have one agola which is a Rishus HaYochid, and another agola which is Rishus HaYochid, you're not allowed to carry something from one agola to the other agola, even though you're going from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid, but you're going through the avir of a Rishus HaRabim. And here also, imagine if he wants to grab hold of his Eruv, so he's on top of the Shovach, or on top of the Aron, and, Gemara calls it a Migdal, and now he's going to, standing in the Rishus HaYochid, he's going to stretch his arm out to the Eruv, which is located in another Rishus HaYochid, but he's going to have to take it through the Avir of Rishus HaRabim, because we said that the Shovach and the Migdal are located in Rishus HaRabim. So then how is it possible for this Eruv to be valid in the case of Lamala Me'asara if he's going to carry it through the Avir of Rishus HaRabim? So the answer is, Yochol Leired V'Lechol Esa Eruv B'Mokom Shu Munach. Okay, so this is a curveball. He's saying that he could possibly go down and eat the Eruv in the place where it is. It's lying in the Migdal. It's resting in the Migdal. And he says, Shehu Nechshav Kimokom echod mamish im mokom shvisoso shareishneya me'al asora urishus echod him. So he's admitting here, Rashi, that it's not really possible for him to literally stretch his arm out and pick up the Eruv and bring it to him, to his mokom shvisa, because that would be derech avir shus harabim. But he could, in a sense, I guess, stretch his body out, you know, and sort of, I don't know if he's going to sneak into that shelf where the Eruv is munach b'migdal, or just simply eat it as he stretches his body. But in any event, he can somehow get access to the Eruv without carrying the Eruv through the Avir Rishus HaRabim. And now he is in a Rishus HaYochid on the top of the Migdal. That's where he's being Kona Shvisa. and the Erev is in a Rishus HaYochid 10 Tvachim high, and that's called Huvei Ruvo B'Mokom Echo. So the Erev is valid. L'mata me'asor Tvachim, but if there's another shelf that's lower down, and it's, let's say, 9 Tvachim above the ground, and therefore that shelf has the status of a Carmelis, is Ene Ruvo Erev. And now we have to understand why the Eruv is invalid. After all, he could carry the Eruv. He's in the Rosh HaMigdal, right? He's being Konesh Vis in the Rosh HaMigdal. That's Rishus HaYochid. Now, Lamata Me'asor Tfachim, again, you can call it a Carmelis, if you will, but that's irrelevant because the Kamelis is a rabbinic category. On a Doraisa level, we're talking about a Rishus HaRab. So now he's in a Rishus HaYochid, and the Erev is in a Rishus HaRab. So therefore, in a Yochel Lahavi Mishomes HaErev, he cannot bring the Erev to his Makom Shvis of Rosh HaMigdol because he would be Mavir. Now, here he quotes Rashi, and Rashi says, Mavir derech avir shus harabim l'shus hayochid. So I don't think that has to bother us so much, because Rashi wants to imagine a situation where he can grab onto the Eruv. If he would grab onto the Eruv is now located in the Avir Shus HaRabim. The Avir Shus HaRabim, which means up to Asar Tfachim, has the same identical status, at least Midoraisa, as a Rishus HaRabim. Midorabani, you can call it a Carmelis. So he writes here, V'af sheyochol lo redes l'mokom she'eruv nimtza bo li'ochlo sham. So why not apply the same logic here that we applied in the case of Lamala Me'asara, where we said that he can actually go down and eat the Erev in the place where it's located. Here also, he can go down and eat the Erev where it's located. He says, Ach, however, be'ofen zeh, in this case of Lamata Me'asara Tvachim, Hareu Yotze Mimokom Shvisoso, he's leaving one Rishus, which is his Mokom Shvisa, and that's Lamala Me'asor, which is Rishus HaYochid, in order to establish a valid Eruv in another Rishus. Kedei sheyochol ha'Eruv, in order for his Eruv to be valid, tzorch sheyehei roi li'ochlo mibodyom b'mokom ha'shvisa. I see what he's saying. He's saying that in the case of Lamala Me'asor, where he was koveah his shvisa, Rishus HaYochid Lamala, on top of the Rosh HaMigdal, the Rosh HaShovah. So there, if he could grab the Eruv without taking a Derech Avir Rishus HaRabim, he would be bringing the Eruv back to his Mokom Shvisa. But here in the case of Lamata Me'asara, there's no way, no how, that he could bring the Eruv to his Mokom Shvisa, because his Mokom Shvisa is in Rishus HaYochid, and the Eruv is in Rishus HaRabim. So now the Gemara is going to ask a kasha on Rabbi Yirmiyah. Amai, why do we say that if it was in the Migdal, he left it in the Migdal Lamata Me'asor, the Erev is not valid, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, who says that in the case of Kalkola, he could tip over the Kalkola and bring it to Latocha Sora. It's Hochinami Nema, Hovi Ochel in Tosel Avil Latocha Sora. So why do you tell me that what? That if it's a case of Lamata Me'asara, therefore the Erev is invalid, why not say here, if we apply the logic of Rabbi Yirmiyah, is here too, Lamata Me'asara, since it can be, I think what he's saying here, I hope I'm not misleading you, is that he could be Mata, the Erev, in the opposite direction. Now, just like Rav Yirmiyah said, in the case of Kalkola, he's going to be Mata the Eruv Litoch HaSoro, Lamata Me'asoro, and that would give the Eruv the din of a Rishus a Rishus HaRabim, and he, the Ma'ariv, is located in Rishus HaRabim, that makes it who they Ruv Mokum Echad. Here, what he could do is, he could be Mata the Migdal. Just one second. Let me just read to you this picture. He has a little diagram, and underneath, I don't understand the diagram so much, but let's see the words. He says, Gam lemata me'asara yeah eruvo eruv hoil v'yochol lahatos es hamigdal al ha'oretz sheyeh b'toch asara. Oh, I see. Wow, this is wild. What the Gemara is saying is that just like Rabbi Yirmi applies the principle of hatoya, you know, of hoil, to the Erev itself, we could also apply the principle of Hatoy of Hoyil to the Makom Shvisa, meaning to the person, not to the Erev. Because what could he do? He could lay down the Migdal on the Aretz, and now everything is B'toch HaSara. The Makom Shvisa is now Lamata B'Rishus HaRabim. This is really interesting. If you ask me where is Makom Shvisa is, I will have to tell you it's in Rishus HaYochid. But if I apply Rabbi Yirmiyah's principle of Hoyil, then I could redefine his Makom Shvisa as being in Rishus HaRabim. Which means that if he would tip over the Migdal, let's say, and put it, you know, put it horizontally on the ground, then he and the Eruv are both B'toch HaSara. They're both in Rishus HaRabim, and therefore he could take the Eruv from its place, which again in this case may be a Carmelist, but he could take it into his Makom Shvisa and he could eat it there. You'll tell me if there's a Gzera of Carmelist, but there's no Gzera of Carmelist Bein HaShmashas according to Rebbe. Rabbi Yirmiyah himself now gives the answer. Hacha b'migdal Misumar Askinon. Misumar means masmeros, right? The noun is a masmer. And misumar means that the migdal is permanently attached to the ground. So there's no way that he can be mata the migdal. Rav answers, offers an alternative answer. Rav Amar, afilu tema b'migdal she'enu misumar, that ain't a chinami, he could be mata, he could turn the migdal over and put it on its side. Hacha b'migdal aroch askinon. The Bryce is talking about a very long tower, a very long migdal. And it's much more than four amos. So therefore what? De'i mamti le purta ozil chutz li'arba amos. If he starts tipping over the migdal, then the top part of the migdal will land more than four amos away, and we cannot be machshir an eruv that has this distance of more than four amos from the makom shvisa. And again, I have a diagram here. He says, "Im yata oso ma'at yetzei rosh hamigdal michutz arba amos shahayibo betchila." So the top part of this migdal will end up more than four amos away from where it was located when it was vertical. Now it's horizontal. And machmas kein ein lahachshir se'eruv mishum hoil v'yochol antosa shareim yateu v'yitol se'eruv li'ochlo b'rosh ha'migdal nimtza she'eno bi'arba amos is kavein lishpos bahem. So that the halacha of being kone makom shvisa will give you up to a distance of four amos between the eruv and the makom shvisa. So he was miskaven lishbos b'rosh hamigdal, and now when he tips the migdal over, if it's very long, the eruv is going to be at a distance which is more than four amos away from the rosh hamigdal, and therefore, when he takes the Eruv and he wants to bring it to the Rosh HaMigdal, which is the whole concept of being Kona Shvisa, the Erev itself is outside of Arba Amos. And you can only set up an Erev in the Mokom Shvisa. And the Mokom Shvisa can give you a radius of up to 4 Amos, but not beyond. So he has a note here, I'll read it to you, the note. He says, Af acharei ha-toya, ono machshivim oso kenimtza barosh ha-migdol, ach sof sof kamenosa oiso lishbos bi arba amos shehoyevo rosh ha-migdol mitchila. In other words, he wanted to be Kona Shvisa within a radius of 4 amos from the Rosh HaMigdol. That was his intention. The Achar HaToya, Eino Nimtza, the Erev is not to be found, the Arba Amos Elu. So therefore there's no coordination, so to speak, between his intention to be Kona Shvisa at place X and the place where the Erev is located now at location of a Y, which is more than 4 amos away from X. Now the Gemara raises the cash on the Braisa. Hechi Dami. What's the case of the Braisa? Ida Ika Kavvasa. He says, Im Yesh Chalon B'Tikras HaMigdol El Tocho. Okay. So now there's a window which leads, I guess, from the top, the Tikra, the top of the tower, into the tower. Umisna, and he has a like a pulley system, you know, a rope in his hand that ties down the Erev. So he's lowering the Erev through this window to the shelf on which the Erev is going to be placed. So afilu shehu barash hamigdol ve'eruv v'toch hamigdol amata me'asara. So then if he has this rope that is wrapped around the Eruv, and even if you'll tell me he's above 10, in other words, let's say, right, we said that the Eruv, if it's located Lamata Measora, is Ein Eruvo Eruv, is Lysi Bekavseyu Misna. Why can't he just raise the Eruv with this rope through the window? And that would be tiltal from a Carmelis. Yeah, but he's in the Rishus HaYochid. Just one second. Just one second. I'm trying to figure it. Oh, that's what we said. Now, that's that piece that I keep coming back to, that between three Tvachim of height and 10 minus, it's called a Carmelis, and it does not have the status of Rishus HaRabim Doraisa. It's only a Carmelis. So once again, if he pulls up the Erev with this pulley system, and he takes it up to the top of the Migdal, where he wants to be Kona Shvisa, he has only violated an Iser of Tiltal Carmelis. They're taking it from a Carmelis to Rishus HaYochid, and that's only Gzera Derabbanan, which is Mutter Ben Hashmashos according to Rebbe. So basically what the Gemara is asking now is, if he has a window through which he lowered the Eruv, and now the Eruv is on a shelf in this Migdal, which is below 10 Tfachim, then the Erev should be valid, because he could take the Erev back to his Mokom Shvisa through this with this rope. And Gemara answers, Delesle Kavsa Umisna. It doesn't have a window and a rope. Well, let me just sort of summarize and review. Just one second, I have the wrong... Give me a second here. Didn't I put it down here somewhere? Oh, here it is, right. Of course, you have to always look under your notes, right? He says the following. If there's a window in the closet and a rope which is attached to the Eruv, then let him bring the Eruv up to the top of the closet by means of the rope in the window. And then he says, the Brice is talking about a case where there's no window and there's no rope. So in the note, he says, if the Eruv rests on the wall, I think on the wall he means on a shelf on the wall, and he's being Koveh Shvisa on top of the closet, the Eruv may be brought directly to the place where he's Koneh Shvisa. So he has this rope that's attached to the Eruv, and he holds the other end of the rope during Bein HaShemashos. He could hoist the Eruv from its place on the wall up to the place on top of the closet where he's Koneh Shvisa, and that would involve only a rabbinic infraction. Oh, so maybe he's going to tell me now why this is only a rabbinic infraction. I'm not sure. Let's not get my hopes too high. He says, a long object, one end of which is held by a person in Rishus HaYochid, and the other end is held, the other end of which rests in Rishus HaRabim. I think what he's saying is that there's no Akira here. Let me just see. He says, this is not a biblical law. It's not considered, according to Torah law, to be resting in Rishus HaRabim. Oh, I see. This is the sugya, I think, of Agudo Biyodo. Do you remember this? I don't know if we learned it together. There's a sugya in Shabbos where he throws something from one Rishus to the other, four Amos, and he's holding on to a rope which allows him to pull it back. And in such a case, it's not called a hanocha. So he's saying here that the Eruv is not considered nach in the Rishus HaRabim because it's tied to a rope. Oh, that's fascinating. Hence, transporting it from Rishus HaRabim to the top of the closet, which is Rishus HaYochid, does not involve a violation of Meleches Hotzah D'Oraisa. It's only a D'Rabbanan. And again, he gives you only a few words to as a clue here. He says, because at one end he's holding it, and at the other end it's resting in Rishus HaRab. He doesn't tell you why that's only Drabbanan. I think it means because it's Agudo Biyodo, that you can't consider something Nach when it's attached to a rope and you're holding on to the rope. And therefore, once again, it would be permitted during Bein HaShemashos, according to Rebbe. The Eruv is accessible at twilight, and it should be valid. And this forces the Gemara to answer that the Bryce's case is where there's no window and there's no rope. Now, the Mishnah says, Nisano Bibar, that if he puts the Eruv into a pit, Afilu amok mea ama eruvo eruv. Let's see if the Gemara can help us understand why this is so. Hai bar de koi hecha. The bar into which he left his eruv, where is it? Ilema de koi, birshus hayochid. Which I'm not exactly sure what he means, the koi Rishus HaYoch. I mean, the bar itself is Rishus HaYoch. So Gemara says here on the top of Lamedalanum base Pshita, for sure the Eruv would be valid because Rishus HaYoch it is Ola Ad Lorakia. V'chi hechi de Salka Liel, Hokinami de Nachta Letachas. So wait, where is he? Ah! again, you know, he is where the bar is, right? Just like we said in the tree, he is where the tree is. So if the tree is in Rishus HaRabim, he was Kodesh Visa, the Ma'ariv was in the Rishus HaRabim. If the bar is in Rishus HaYochid, then he himself, who's standing on the outside of the bar, his feet are grounded in Rishus HaYochid. And since Rishus HaYochid is Ola Adler Akia, therefore, it could go down subterranean also until the, you know, the core of the earth. So the barv and all its depth is Rishus HaYochid. So he and his Eruv are both Rishus HaYochid. So why did the Mishnah have to tell me that the Eruv is valid? Ella, but rather the Koi Rishus HaRab. Let's assume by process of elimination that the bar is located in Rishus HaRab. Then it's Kavi Lishbos Hecha. And where does he want to, where does he intend to be Konish Misa? Ila Mala. If the Rishus HaRabim is in, if the bar is in Rishus HaRabim, and he also standing on the outside lip of the bar, and therefore he's also in Rishus HaRabim, is then, if we assume that Lemala, so what does it mean? Ilamala, what does Ilamala mean? If the Sfas HaBar is also Rishus HaRabim, that's what we're assuming, is then Hu B'Mokom Echad Ve'iruvo B'Mokom Achad, this should be an invalid Eruv. Why? The Mishnah says it's valid. Because if the bar is 10 Tfachim deep, even though it's located in Rishus HaRabim, it has the status of a Rishus HaYochid. Therefore, there's no way that he can get access to his Eruv if he's standing in the Rishus HaRabim, because the bar itself has the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid, and therefore the Eruv is located in the Rishus HaYochid. Ve'ila Mata. But if his Kavanah was to be Shoves inside the bar, you know, you see this is a magical, you know, laissez-faire kind of look. He could decide where he wants to be Konish Shvisa. That's his prerogative. Is Pshita Huvei Ruva B'Mokom Echad. So now the Rishus of the bar is Rishus HaYochid, and his Kona, the location which he wants to be Kona Shvisa is Rishus HaYochid. And once again, we're back to Pshita. Why did the Mishnah have to tell me that the Erev is valid? Lo Tzricha Dekoy B'Karmelis. Ah, so we're going to have to introduce Rebbe now, right? As soon as you hear the word Karmelis with regard to Erev Tchumen, you automatically put Rebbe on the agenda, right? So the bar is now standing in a Karmelis. Let's say it's in a field or a valley. And the bar itself is 10 Tfachim deep, which makes it into Rishus HaYochid. So you have now Rishus HaYochid that's located inside a Karmelis. Now, where does he want to be Konish Shvisa? V'hu niskaven lishbos lemala. So he wants to be Konish Shvisa above, at the outskirts of the bar, which is a Rishus Karmelis, right? It's a Karmelis. And now his Erev is in Rishus HaYochid, because Rishus HaYochid is Amok Asora, and it's on the bottom of the pit. And the Rebbe, he amish and reflects the sheet. The Rebbe, the Omar, called over Shum Mishum Shvus Lo Gozu Bein Hashmash. Also, the Erev is valid because on Bein Hashmash he could take the Erev from the bottom of the bar and take it, haul it up to the Sfas HaBar, which is a Karmelis. And by taking something from a Rishus HaYochid into a Karmelis, he only violates the Shvus Rabbanon, and there's no Gzera of Shvus Rabbanon during Bein Hashmashos, according to the Shita of Reb. I'll just read this note here. He says, Nimtza shekan yesh chidush bebar amok yoser mi bebar she'eno amok shebar she'eno amok asara v'rochav arba hu karmelis and uvadai shehu veruva b'mokom echad ilu Amok asara v'rochav arba hu rishus hayochiv yosel lohotzi v'menu lekarmelis b'shabes mikol mekom eruv ho eruv kerebi. So that's the special chiddush, and that leads us
to the Mishnah, which actually continues to deal with the dinim of Hanochas Eruv in different places. For example, Nisono Berosh HaKona, if he places the Eruv on top of a reed, on top of a pole, Rosh HaKundras, is Bismanshu Tolush Vinoutz, as long as the reed has been uprooted and then stuck back into the ground, Afilu Govoa Mea Amo HaReze Eruv, even if it's 100 Amos high, the Eruv is a valid Eruv. And even if they have the width of four tfachim, nevertheless, since they're not rochav lemata, arba tfachim, it's not a rishus hayochid. And that has to do with the Mishnah in Shabbos on Kuf Aleph about Sfinos Ktanos, if you remember, that those canoes that don't have a rochav of arba on the bottom. And therefore, Ben Ashmashas, he could have taken the Erev into his Makom Shvisim Rishus HaRabim based on Rebbe's principle. So this is where we're up to here for today. We're going to stop on Lamed Daled Amud Beis, and you'll see the Mishnah on top. So we're about 10 lines down from the top of the Amud.